beyond the manger. I'm excited about what they're going to bring forth. You know, I don't come in and sit down and watch them practice, but we get to hear them. They're often either the choir room or they or in here, and it just sounds beautiful, just the songs that they've been singing and everything that they've put forth. And from what I hear, there's been a lot of strife and conflict through it all. I'm just joking. But you know what? I mean, even if there was some, you know what that means? It means that the devil's fighting it. The devil's fight. Anytime, I'll just say this, anytime that something is, you know, big on the schedule, a missions conference, or whenever we've gone to I've gone to preach at a camp, or it just seems like there's a lot of strife. And you know what? The devil is fighting because he doesn't want the good news of the gospel to get out. And that's one of the things that this music will do. It'll certainly put forth the gospel before you. But I'm excited about what they're going to bring. So without any further ado, or let me just say this one thing, if you just make sure that, you know, your electronic gadgets are all shut off. You know, it's not, you know, you hate that when you're the one and it starts to ring and everything. So let's just make sure that those are all turned off. And again, without any further ado, I'm going to turn this over to the group here, Beyond the Manger. Thank you.
Beyond the Manger. As years go by, it seems that America is getting further and further away from celebrating the true meaning of Christmas. Manger scenes of Joseph, Mary, and baby Jesus that used to be seen all around the community are now often few and far between. So many now do not even understand its significance. As Christians, it is up to us to show them that this little baby, born in a manger over 2,000 years ago, is our Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. He came down to this earth so he could die on the cross for our sins. This morning will be a reminder of who that little baby was and how his miraculous birth set into motion the event that would change the world forever. You see, beyond that manger stood a cross.
See his tiny hands and feet.
Augustus, that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. must have been very crowded that night in Bethlehem. The Bible tells us that there was no room for Mary and Joseph in the inn. Mary must have been exhausted, and yet the only place they could find was a stable that was likely full of animals. Certainly not a place that we would imagine the Son of God would be born. No room, only a manger of hay. No room, he is a stranger today. No room, here in his world turned away. No room, no room. No room here in the hearts of mankind. No room, no cherry welcome could find. No room, surely the world is blind. No room, no room.
She could give her babe a quiet bed. Was there?
Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, we read, "And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." I wonder if Mary knew the full eventual significance and salvation that her son, Jesus Christ, would have for mankind. The miracles he would perform. The little baby that she held was God in the flesh. The angel had told her, as written in Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33, "He shall be called great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end."
Your baby boy will one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storms with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod. When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am.
The Bible has many portions of Scripture that foretold of the coming of our Savior. We read in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it's written when the angel spoke to Joseph, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. In Luke chapter 2, we read, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. While many images of the manger scene often include the wise men, they were not actually there. The Bible says that they traveled from afar and that it was sometime later that they bowed before the Christ child. We read in Matthew chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gold and frankincense and myrrh. The wise men traveling so far to reach Christ so that they might worship him is a tremendous example of how we should, as Christians, continually seek him.
The wise men were watching and praying for heavenly signs of his birth. They followed the starlight through long days and dark nights to worship the Lord of the earth.
If miles lay between us, then I'd walk to Jesus. O'er mountain and desert, I'd follow.
When Jesus was born that night so long ago in Bethlehem, he was God's only son, come to save us. That perfect little baby born in that lowly stable so many years ago was born to be the savior of the world. He was born so that later he would die on a cross for all of our sins. The Bible says in a very familiar verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Come, let us worship, come, let us adore. Jesus, Messiah, our Savior is born. Carol his glory and sing his sweet name. Offer a life of thanksgiving and praise. Join with the angels proclaiming to earth. Join with the shepherds in awe of his birth. Join all creation rejoicing this morn. The glory of God become man has been born. Come, let us adore him, Jesus, the hope of the world. Come, worship before him, Christ the Messiah has come, salvation is born. Prophets foretold him the promise of God, the hope of salvation in light of the world. Born in a stable and born as a man, born to fulfill God's redeeming plan. Come, let us adore him, Jesus, the hope of the world. Come worship before him, Christ the Messiah has come. Come let us adore him, Jesus the hope of the world. Come worship before him, Christ the Messiah has come, salvation is born. Come, let us worship, come, let us adore. Jesus, Messiah, our Savior, is born.
Yes, salvation was born that day in Bethlehem. That baby was God in flesh, God himself coming down to earth to be born in a lowly manger to save mankind. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, we read, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Psalm 85, verse 6 says, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Behold our God. O come, let us adore him."
Keep
I will say a big amen to that. Amen. That was tremendous. Let's go ahead. We'll give them another big round of applause. Boy, that was outstanding. Thank you so much. What a blessing it was to me, and no doubt to everyone here. I'm going to ask you guys in the back in the sound booth, I forgot to get with you. Could we get 2 Corinthians chapter 4? In just a moment, we'll look at verse 4, and then we'll look at verse 5 and verse 6. So if you can keep them separate, that's great. Sorry about not getting to you till now. And if you can't do it, it's not the end of the world. So I'm going to be in that passage, 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. You know, in listening to all of these wonderful songs, quartets, solos, songs that we're familiar with. Maybe some of them we weren't familiar with. But what we heard and the narration and the scripture, boy, you know, unless you're not paying attention, we cannot help but see the true meaning of Christmas. Amen? Amen? We can't help but see Christmas in its true light, that God became man in order to save us from the terrible situation that we were in. The Bible says we had no hope in Ephesians chapter 2. Were we able to get that? Well, and here's the thing. Before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we weren't even aware of the fact of the situation that we were in, because we were blinded. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, if you have a Bible, that's great, you can open it up. There it is right there. Thank you, guys. In verse 4, it says, in whom the god of this world, and that's the devil, it's a small g, the god of this world is the devil. It says, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Let me read it again. In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get into just a short message of what we heard here in song just a little bit ago. Father, we thank you for this opportunity today. I thank you for this musical. I thank you for the songs that we've just heard, all of the hard work that was put into it, and all the prayer. And Lord, we thank you for the message of those songs, and we thank you for the message of your word. Thank you for the great promises that you give to us, the promise of eternal life. Lord, thank you that for, I hope, everyone in this room, but I don't know that for certain. I know it's a great majority for those of us that do know you as our Savior. Lord, there was a time when we were in darkness and we were lost, we were blinded. We didn't see things in their proper light, but we thank you, Lord, that you shined a light in our hearts. We thank you that you used somebody to come to us with a gospel track or an invitation to church. Maybe it was mom and dad who knew you and they spoke of you in the home, and maybe as a small child, many that are here, I know that that is true with them, that they came to know you as a small child because the gospel was given to them in their very own home. So we just want to thank you, Lord, for what you did in our hearts and in our lives, and how you use somebody to bring the message to us. And we thank you for that blessed message, Lord, that your son came to die on the cross for our sins, that he was born in that lowly manger, and Lord, in such a place that we would never have thought that the King of Glory would come, but you did. And Lord, we just thank you again for those of us that know you here today, that you loved us and you died on the cross. You died for every single person. And so we praise and thank you for that. I pray, Father, as we just look at these passages of Scripture here in this particular passage, in this particular chapter, that you'd speak to our hearts. For those of us that know you, maybe it just will bring a greater appreciation, Lord, a deeper sense of worship and adoring you for what you've done for us. But if there is somebody here, Lord, without Christ, we pray, Father, that you'll work in their hearts through the Spirit of God and show them that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. So we thank you, and we'd ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So folks, you know this is true, that before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we weren't even aware of our situation. We were just kind of going along our way. And we were blinded. We were blinded by the God of this world. But that's why so many today, there are so many today who see a different Christmas than what we see. The Bible says that people are in darkness. They have a whole different outlook of what Christmas is. When you look at how the world views this wonderful celebration, you know, you cannot help but see how that which is the most significant thing, the Lord Jesus Christ, is terribly glossed over. At best, the world that's lost will acknowledge that Jesus was a little baby, a little infant in a manger. And, you know, we'll see that in Christmas cards, and we see that in various forms. But worse yet than that is when he's completely left out. When he's completely left out and replaced by, you know, Santa Claus. Yeah, we have fun with Santa Claus, and that's great and everything. But listen, he's never to replace the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly not. Listen, the reason for this wonderful celebration of Christmas is only because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. He willingly left heaven's glory in order to put on humanity. We heard it in song. The Bible says it so clearly that was God manifest in the flesh. The Bible says clearly that Jesus Christ is God. He put on humanity to become that little innocent child that would grow up and live a sinless life. He lived a sinless life that you and I were not able to live. We were all sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he came to live that sinless life and to die in our place. He died for our transgressions. He died in order that we could be saved. In 2 Corinthians, and I won't have them put this up on the screen, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 is a great passage. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us." The Father made the Son to become sin for us who knew no sin. He didn't know any sin. He never sinned. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We can become righteous in the sight of the Father. And not because of our own righteousness. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 that our righteousness is like filthy rags before God. The best that we could do before God, he can't accept it. He's a holy and righteous God, and he cannot allow that into heaven. What did he do? He sent his Son to die in our place so that we could obtain the righteousness of Jesus Christ when we put our faith and trust in him. And he gives us his righteousness. I'm so glad when the Father looks at me, he doesn't see Ruben Garcia's righteousness because it falls woefully short. I'm just a wicked sinner before a righteous God. But he doesn't see that. He sees his Son in me because years ago, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus gave me his righteousness. I would say that to anybody here today. If you're trusting in your own righteousness, you will fall terribly short. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, I believe it is, that not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Amen. So it's not by any righteousness that we can declare before God. But what an awesome thing that Christ would die for us and would be willing to give us his righteousness. That's why the author, the Apostle Paul, in this passage says in verse 5, if you'll put that up, in verse 5, when he says, "For we preach not ourselves," we don't preach ourselves, but he says, "but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." That's why we preach Jesus Christ, because he's the answer. There's no other way but through him. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me," but by him. It's only through him, not by any great effort on our part, not by being charitable, not by giving money, not by being baptized, not by being confirmed. None of that will get you to heaven. It's only through what Christ did. It is by good works. It's by his good works, but not by our own. It is by what he did. So now we come to the point where we are willing, if we're willing to acknowledge this truth, if we're willing to confess that we're sinners to God himself and be willing to believe that he sent his son from heaven. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If we're willing to believe that God sent his son from heaven to die in our place, if we'll humble ourselves before God, believing that Jesus did die in our place and that he rose again, then God will begin to do something in our hearts. God will begin to shine that light right within our very own heart. Verse 6 will tell us that. Verse 6, it's right up there on the screen, and I'll read that. It says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I remember when God shined a light in my heart. I wasn't really aware of all of the details of it all. I just remember that one particular day back in 1977 when I, as a teenager, God awakened me to the fact that I needed him. I didn't even understand what I needed to do to be saved. I didn't know I needed to invite Jesus into my heart. I just knew that God had done something. And I knew I needed to talk to somebody, and I'd been going to church. This was in Southern California many, many years ago in 77. And I knew I needed to go to the church that I'd been going to, but I didn't know the answer. And I went and found one of the men on staff, and he took me into his office, and he showed me through the Bible about putting my faith and trust in Christ and inviting him into my heart. And what a difference it made. When I was done and I left, I just remember feeling as if a huge weight had been lifted. And I remember going home and just being so excited about what took place in my life. And I didn't know a whole lot about anything, and that would come in time. But I did know one thing. I knew I belonged to him. And I knew I was forgiven and that I had everlasting life. And maybe that's the case with somebody here today. You're here today, and maybe you've been in church many times, or maybe this is the first time. But you're thinking, I don't know that Jesus that they were singing about. I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know that my sin is forgiven. Well, the Bible tells us that we can know that. We can know without a doubt that if we'll call upon the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness and for forgiveness and salvation, then he will surely give it to us. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If we'll trust Christ. A few verses later it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. To call upon Christ, he's there for you and I to save us. He will give you and I everlasting life. It is a wonderful thing for all these years now to know. And listen, I'm a sinner that's just been saved by grace. Still have an old nature. I still struggle with some things. But the Lord is so forgiving, and I know that what he gave to me 40-some years ago, I still have. He's given me everlasting life. He says, no man can pluck you out of my hand. It is a wonderful thing every day to know I'm saved, and I'm on my way to heaven one day, and I don't deserve it one bit. I deserve hell, but he died in my place so that I could be saved. And I know that I have the Lord with me every day, but one day I'm going to see him face to face. Amen. And so many of you as well. Amen? Isn't that a wonderful thought? Amen. It started in a manger, but it went well beyond that, as we heard today, beyond the manger. It went all the way to the cross, where the Lord Jesus Christ paid it all for you and I. So if you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, then I would plead with you. You know, the word beseech is in the Bible, which means to beg. I would urge you. Paul also said, the Apostle Paul, I would persuade you. We're not here to get in your face. We know that it's got to be God that does his work through the Spirit of God in your hearts to shine that light. We can't do it. We're just little messengers that deliver the message. But our prayer for you is, if you're here without Christ, that God would do that work in your heart, that you would be willing, Lord, I want to know. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm going to be in heaven with you one day. And I wouldn't want your sacrifice that you made to be in vain for me, because he died for every single person. And he's not willing that any should perish, the Bible says, but that all should come to repentance. But he's given you and I a free will, and you and I can make that decision to say no or yes. And so if you're here without Christ, then we would encourage you to trust Jesus Christ. If you have some questions, I certainly will be available that you could ask me any questions about that, and I'd be glad to answer whatever I can. And I know there are many others as well that would do the same. Now, if you're here and you know the Lord Jesus, then maybe this is just a good time, again, just to renew, and we ought to do it on a regular basis, just to renew our gratitude and honor him and just adore him and worship him for what he's done for us. Praise the Lord for his goodness to us. Amen? Amen. So what I want us to do is, and in a little bit, I want to acknowledge certainly this group that did such a tremendous thing, but I want us to sing a hymn of invitation, and I'm going to ask Brother Jason to come on up, and this is just a good time for us all to sing. I think this is a good time to stand. Jason and Vicky, of course, will play the piano, but this is a good opportunity to respond to the Lord. You're certainly welcome to come to the altar. You don't have to. This could be a time when you just come and just want to say, Lord, you know I know you, but I just want to thank you. You can do that in your seat, but it's also a good time, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that you could come to the front and we would have somebody here that can show you from the Bible how you can be saved. And I don't want to leave that out because it is such an important thing to know. And so we want you to have that opportunity. Brother Jason, I'll turn it over to you to sing that hymn. Thank you, and lead us in that hymn.